Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
I'd like if you guys could follow me to Psalms chapter 23, verse 4. I think I shared with my wife, it was about 2 weeks ago that I had a dream, and I had a dream specifically that I was teaching a Bible study, not in the church necessarily, but somewhere, and I don't remember what I was exactly, or that's part of the dream that's a little fuzzy, but I do remember specifically that it was on the Lord's staff that I was teaching, and I thought to myself, okay, God, I think this is what you want me to share today, and I'm going to try to stay as aligned or close possible to that. And when I was thinking about the staff, I went there, my thought came to Psalms 23, verse 4. The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Amen. Let's go ahead, and if you guys will join me in prayer at this time, that the word of God may work in our hearts and our minds today. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for this word. We praise you. We glorify you, God. We honor you today. Lord, we know that everything, Lord, that we may ever need, desire, or want, God, is found in your presence. Jesus is found in you, Lord. Help us, Jesus, have a renewed mindset today, God, a renewed confidence, Lord Jesus, in you. Father, as we traverse, Lord, as we move, God, along in this world, Lord, let us keep our eyes placed on you, our focus on you, Jesus. And I pray that this word would help us, God, be better people, better individuals, better servants, Lord Jesus, better ministers of your word, Lord God, better witnesses, Lord Jesus, of your miracles and power for your honor and your glory, Lord Jesus. We place ourselves in your hands, Lord God. Do with this time what you will, Jesus. We are in your hands, Lord Father. Have your way this morning, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. And you guys may be seated, or we may be seated. Excuse me. But today's title or lesson that I'd like to share is called My Comfort. Amen. My Comfort. There's a lot to teach or just learn from Psalms 23. Amen. But I'm not going to go through the whole passage. I'm going to try to just come out from verse 4. And through today's passage, I want to emphasize that God will protect us. He will guide us, and he will comfort us. Amen. When we think of the word comfort, you can define it as strengthening aid or consolation in time of trouble or worry, contented, well-being. The valley of the shadow of death is a metaphor or a representation or symbol for a difficult time, for a trying time or perilous time, if you want to call it that way. And many have tried to pinpoint or say exactly where this valley of the shadow of death may have been physically, but no one has really been able to say for certain. But for certain, we can say, though, that some of us may feel like we're going through the valley of the shadow of death at this moment. We may have, maybe we just made it out of it, and maybe we're beyond that now, and when we feel like we're good, we're cruising down right the road or whatever, how we want to see it as a positive way. But all I know is that we'll likely have to go through it again at some point down the line, and that's, you know, it's hard to hear. It's hard to stay encouraged, right, when we hear that sometimes, and the circumstance may look different, though, at that moment, or maybe it'll be the same. Maybe it might come up as a financial distress, as an illness, as the passing of a loved one. We don't know what it might be, but we know that it might just surprise us, and it may come as to what we think is an opportune time. Amen. But knowing that is difficult to hear, but it helps us accept something that it is essential for us to acknowledge that the Lord is our shepherd. Amen. It is essential to acknowledge that. The Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, "Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. We can confidently say that. The Lord is my shepherd. The path we're being led through at the moment may not be our favorite. There is gladness for our heart, there is rest for our flesh, and there is comfort for our soul. And I know that as I walk in the path that the Lord sets for me, I will find his presence. Amen. And if I find his presence, I will have fullness of joy. And when I have fullness of joy, I will also delight in pleasures forevermore. And when I think of forevermore, it literally means forever. Forever. There's no end to it. Nothing's stopping that, or no one's stopping that. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Amen. So we need to follow the Lord. I care about the day-to-day protection and provision, and I care to know perhaps, you know, that there's a security for me tomorrow. Amen. But I know that he secures me for eternity, and there is no greater peace or comfort in life than knowing that, that when I have the Lord and when I follow his voice and when I go after wherever the Lord is going, I am secured for eternity. I may lose my life physically, or something may happen to my body, amen, or something could happen to myself or maybe a family member, but Jesus tells me that I will never perish, nor will anyone snatch me out of his hand. And that applies to all of us here today, that we will not perish or be snatched out of his hand when we follow the Lord, when we decide to call him our shepherd, amen? My comfort today lies in knowing that as I follow the Lord, he will take care of me. In Luke chapter 1, we find Zechariah, or John's father, full of the Holy Spirit, prophesying. And this is just a portion of what he had to say. He says, "And you, child," regarding his son, "will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Amen. I need to tell someone today that salvation is here. Peace is here. Joy is here. Amen. If you feel like we've been sitting, or if I perhaps, I'm speaking to myself first and foremost, that we've been sitting in darkness and the shadow of death, it is time to get up and go. Amen. It is time to get up, to look up, and follow our shepherd once again. The day spring from on high is here, says the word of God, and the day spring is like the light of dawn that begins to break through darkness. In other words, the light of the world or the light of men is shining over me or over you in our situation today and is illuminating our path to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. If we believe in God, then by default, we believe that he is greater than any of our fears and therefore greater than any evil of this world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." And Psalms chapter 118, verse 6 tells me that the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Amen. The next element of the verse in Psalms 23, verse 4 revolves around the rod and the staff. And the rod is a symbol of strength and protection, used as a weapon at times to defend the sheep from animals and sometimes used to prod them or poke them to move in a certain direction. A rod is also a symbol of authority and power in the Bible. Amen. So when we learn to submit ourselves to God, to his power, to his authority, our shepherd, we will begin to experience a life full of confidence and comfort in Christ. Amen. In 1 Samuel, we find David making his case as to why he should be the one to face the giant Goliath when the rest of Israel's men were unwilling to do so. This is a lesson for another day, perhaps, but let us note that his experience tending a flock or his experience in the wilderness that was at what had prepared him to go against a giant. He didn't have any previous giant killing or giant slaying experience, but he had experience tending flock, sheep, caring, protecting, defending. Amen. When we follow God, he may lead us through the desert, and he may lead us through a parted sea. He may lead us through a valley, through mountains. He'll bring us out of a horrible pit or out of miry clay, amen, through the valley of the shadow of death. But everything will be okay because he will protect us, he will guide us, and he will comfort us, right? David says on 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 through 37, David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine, or Philistine. And that's from 1 Samuel chapter 17, 34 through 37. If David was willing to strike a beast that draws such fear as a bear and a lion, to deliver a sheep under his care from the literal mouth of death, what more will your shepherd do for you to deliver you out of the mouth of death? It is important that we learn to remain under God's guidance and direction. Amen. The staff is said to have been used for direction and guidance as well, but more intentional with a hook-like tip to help bring or redirect a wandering sheep. It symbolizes a symbol of guidance and loving kindness used to keep sheep out of danger and within reach. A rod and staff are all tools that help a shepherd, or that would help a shepherd when sheep are within reach of the said tools. But what happens when they seem like they're out of reach? Well, the Lord is not like us. And what I mean by that is that if something even seems like a minor inconvenience to my comfort, to my time, to what my normal is, then we're likely not wanting to do it, right? A regular man, maybe we could have 100 sheep and we lose one and we'd be like, I have 99 still. Well, we'll be okay without the one, you know? But Jesus makes the example that he is like a man that has such a high concern and care for the one, that even though his sheep may not be in arm's reach any longer or at a distance where he can see it along with the rest of the herd, he will go into the mountains, into what you and I deem as dangerous or too cumbersome or just inconvenient maybe, and he will look for us to bring us back to where we belong. Right? Matthew 18, or chapter 18, verse 12 through 14 says, what do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? Does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So with that, I want to remind someone today that it is the will of God that none of his little ones perish. It is not the will of God that none of you, that me, or any of that of us that call ourselves followers or believers, or that hear the voice of the Lord and follow him. It is not the Lord's desire or his will for us to perish. So if the Lord is my shepherd, then it is essential that in my words be, not my will, but yours be done. Right? Not my will, but yours be done. Living in God will mean security for eternity. And perhaps through the world or for the world around us, it's a little confusing as to why we make certain choices or certain decisions, why we abstain from things, or why we decide to leave certain groups or certain places going forward. And the people around us may question, right, why we choose to follow and serve a specific way, which is a great way for us to introduce the gospel when that happens, right? But sometimes that's not enough for people when they see us living for God, and when they see us transformed, and when they see us changed, and when they see that we're not making the same errors or decisions or choices that we used to perhaps years ago. But when all this happens, we have to know that the comfort of knowing God and being known by God is greater than being known by man. That knowing that the comfort of having eternity secured is greater than having the comfort of today's security. Knowing that the comfort of living in God's will is greater than living outside of it, and knowing that the comfort of being near to God is greater than anything that is found in this world. In Luke chapter 22, as Jesus is about to be arrested following a betrayal from Judas, that's kind of the background of this passage in Luke chapter 22, verse 41 through 46. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. And nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So once again, if the Lord is my shepherd, then it is essential that in my words be not my will, but yours be done. If when we are going, amen, through trials, it is not the right time to sleep as the disciples did. If the Lord is my shepherd, then it is essential that I remember that there is no circumstance grave enough that should keep me away from falling on my knees to pray. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus, being in agony, slept through it.
Sir.
No, right? Being in agony, he just kind of sulked in the corner. And no, no, he says that his agony or perhaps his circumstance drove him to pray more earnestly. To not, you know, we know now that this was something that was inevitable, or that there was a purpose for him to go through what he went through. But nonetheless, there was still perhaps a small glimpse in his humanity and request and mercy and pleading that, is there a way perhaps that I can come out of this and not have to go through what's said for me to go through? But nonetheless, right, he says, not my will, but yours be done. So regardless of the outcome, Jesus was willing to pray even through the difficulty of this circumstance. And God gives us a model or a blueprint that directs us to pray more earnestly when things look bleak. The Bible says in James 5, verse 15 through 16, that the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We cannot afford to just sleep through life and see if something has changed the next day over and over and over. And man, Jesus knew that his purpose was going to put him through much pain and agony and at the end an unjust punishment. But such was necessary in order for you and I to have eternal life today. After all, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what your shepherd did and my shepherd did. Amen. He gave his life so that you and I could have access to eternal life today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Christ endured the cross for you and for me, for the joy that was set before him. And as Jake mentioned last week as well, Jesus despised the shame. He despised shame and left a guide for our salvation. We need to repent of our sins. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. We need to be filled with his spirit. We need to hear his voice and follow him day in and day out. Amen. Whatever the valley of the shadow of death may be for you today, perhaps a difficult time or very well literally death of passing of a loved one, we need to know that a comforter is here today. And a comforter, amen, for he or she who is willing to cry out, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Our shepherd will protect us. He will guide us and he will comfort us. As I consider this or as I think about this, I was sharing this or what I was going to teach about with my wife last night, and I think even this morning there was a lot of things that just came to mind. And some of you guys, I've shared this with you, or we've shared this with you prior, but our move out here to California, it wasn't just like we had a plan. We didn't have we had very little set up aside from just knowing where we were going to sleep or recall our home, or at least temporarily. But I had no job. I've shared this prior with you guys. We didn't really know anyone out here. But God made a way. But I bring that up because prior to us moving, I think within days or within the same week, both my wife and I, we had dreams that confirmed that we needed to go or to move, or that at least the move that door that had opened for us to go somewhere had been confirmed by the Lord. And for me, it was a dream where there was a plant, if you consider, in a desert. Think about a desert, and there was a plant planted in it. And there were hands. I didn't see whose hands they were, but I could see hands bringing water, like the way you cup water and maybe sometimes bring it to your mouth, but bringing it to the plant. And in the dream, the Lord revealed or confirmed with me that the message of it was that it is easier to transplant or move a plant out of the desert than trying to make it survive or help it survive in the desert. So that was what the Lord had told me in my dream, and my wife had another dream as well, but you would have to ask her the full details of it. But I do remember the gist of what her dream was. But for her, it was that she needed to cling to me. And at the end of the day, if I'm clung to the Lord and my wife clings to me or hold on to me, then we're gonna be okay. But the reason I guess I bring that up is because as men and as primarily men, and even when we're thinking about a shepherd, we know that the Lord leads us, both men and women. But in a marital context, ideally we need to be the shepherds of our home, right? And this applies for men, but we need to be the shepherds of our home. And there was a time, you know, before our move, even people were questioning myself and were like, hey, what's next in ministry? What's next? Like, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? And my wife reminded me of these words, but right now my ministry is to be a shepherd for my home, to be a shepherd for my son, for my wife, and now for another son. I don't know where anything else that God wants to do. I'm available and I'm willing, but right now in this season, at least in my life, my priority is to be a shepherd, to be a minister, a leader of my home. And when we learn to embrace that and value that, my gosh, there's such great comfort that comes from that, because I'm being led by the Lord, and whatever God gives me to give to my family, we're all moving in a great direction, in a good direction. And all of that to say is that coming out here, moving to Georgia, was not easy. Sure, there was fear sometimes in the uncertainty. And I have a book here that I'm going to read the whole thing right now for you guys. Okay, just relax. I'm just kidding. I just want to read a small excerpt from it, because it's called Traveling Light, and it's actually a book that I was reading or trying to finish around the time that we were going to move out here. And it's I'm not being sponsored by Max Lucado or anything like that, but the title is Traveling Light, or The Promise of Psalm 23. And this reading this part specifically, just like I told my wife, like, come on, like, when was the last time you ever wrote a book and it specifically talked about North Georgia? Although I understand now that this isn't really Northern Georgia, I think, right? Where we're at? A little bit? Northeast? Close enough. All right. Lord, send me in the wrong GPS. but this is what the writer said, and it's less than a half a page, but he writes, he says, have you ever longed to be home? May I share a time when I did? I said, I was spending the summer of my 19th year working in Northern Georgia. The folks in that region are very nice, but no one is too nice to a door-to-door salesman. Is that true? Oh, no. Yes. Okay. Yeah, street salesman nicely. There were times that summer when I was so lonely for home, I felt my bones would melt. One of those occasions came on the side of a country road. The hour was late and I was lost. I'd stopped to pull out a flashlight and a map. To my right was a farmhouse. In the farmhouse was a family. I knew it was a family because I could see them. Right through the big plate glass window, I could see the mother and father and boy and girl. Norman Rockwell would have placed them on a canvas. The mom was spooning out food and the dad was telling a story and the kids were laughing, and it was all I could do to keep from ringing the doorbell and asking for a place at the table. I felt so far from home. So that was just it. I said, I don't recall reading a book before that mentioned Northeast Georgia or any remote area out here in the time and season that we were considering moving out to this side of the country. But more specifically, feeling homesick or feeling that you're away from home or missing home. And I think that's one of the areas that every now and then it still comes to us that we moved out here, because for our entirety, we call California, Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley within Los Angeles our home. But anywhere that we move to or that we are, no zip code within the United States or anywhere on this earth really is our home. Nothing around this belongs to us, right? We cannot become attached to it. We cannot fall in love with our possessions, with what we have in hand, with what we have in our homes, or what our careers have grown to or become to, because none of this is for us, essentially. But everything, the treasures that God has for us, and the promises and the pleasures that the Bible talks about for us, they're eternal and they're heavenly. Amen. And if I can think that this is my comfort, to know that, you know, I may not have my career secured, or maybe we think that we don't have it all together, but we wonder what our role is. You know, am I just a regular person? Well, I think I can speak confidently that when I look at everyone in this room, that the Bible, and I'm sorry, I didn't actually give this to you guys, but Revelations chapter 1, verse 4 and 6 says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings. Amen. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. That is what God makes us today. Amen. Or reminds us that we are. that we are kings and priests to his God and Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's beauty when we trust in the word of God, when we have been redeemed, when we have been forgiven, when we have been washed by the water and cleansed by his spirit. Amen. But I just want to share or remind someone today that there is comfort in following God, that there is comfort when we hear his voice, when we follow in his ways. And no matter where you feel like your life is at this time in relation to serving Christ or your ministry maybe or whatever it is that God is going to move you to or place you to, we cannot become too attached to what we have now. We're close to moving again. For those of you who don't know, we're not moving out of the state. We're just moving kind of down the road, thankfully. But I think since the times that my wife and I have been married, we've moved at least maybe six times now, I think. So it's almost within 7 years, moving 5 or 6 times. So every time that you move, the first time it's just the most, not scary, is not the right word, but it's just the most like, what are we going to do? And I think as you do it over and over, it just becomes easier. You know, okay, that's essential. That's not Goodwill. Yeah, okay, we're donating this, we're selling this. And it just becomes easier to move and to go somewhere else the more times that you've become or accustomed to moving somewhere. So I'm not, telling you you have to move out of your current home and just see where God takes you. But I just want to encourage someone that as we follow God, as we follow our shepherd, there is comfort in knowing that it doesn't matter where you move to or where your ministry takes you or where your calling takes you to, God's going to take care of you. God's going to have your back. Amen. He's going to, give you a different home or maybe different furniture. He's going to bless you or give to you in different ways. And, maybe you're not going to have the biggest bank account, or maybe you do, praise God, for either or. But he's going to make sure that you have food for the day and clothes over yourselves and a home or something to call a home while he has us doing his work or his ministry here on this earth. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.